Well, turning your Bibles to Matthew 18, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. Now, you remember we've been going all the way from the very beginning, his birth, his life, his ministry. We're seeing all this, and now we're at really a turning point in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He is on his way to Jerusalem. He's already told them that he's going to go there and he's going to die. In fact, five times in Matthew, he will tell them. We've already seen it a couple of times. He's going to tell them he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be handed over to the religious leaders, then handed over to basically the Romans, then he will die and then rise again. And so he's on the way, and as he goes, we're seeing a number of issues. If you remember last time, he talked about church discipline. We saw that. And then this time he's going to be talking about, of course, we saw that last time. This time Peter's going to raise the subject of forgiveness, because in the whole idea of church discipline, the goal is that a person that maybe has sin, you deal with them, you go to them, and they say, oh, I'm wrong. And then if there's forgiveness, anybody comes back together. But Peter raises the question, well, what about when somebody does you wrong? Like, how often should you forgive them? That's the thing. And so we're going to raise some questions this morning. We're going to talk about what is forgiveness? How often do we forgive? Why should we forgive others? And are we different from the world as far as the forgiveness is concerned? Well, we'll see it as we go through it. It was a number of years ago before I married Jean. I had a friend, and we did a lot of things together. And so one time he borrowed my car, which was okay, and he had a wreck in it, and it was his fault. And it kind of tore the car up, but I had insurance, and so he came to me and he said, I'll pay for your car. And I said, well, I have insurance. I said, if you just maybe help me with a deductible. And so when the time came, he said, I can't pay anything. In fact, it's your fault for loaning me your car. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, that was my fault. You're right. I won't make that mistake again. But anyway, I remember being pretty discouraged. And so I talked to a pastor friend of mine, and I said, you know, I'm really upset because this guy I thought was my real good friend. He said, he is your good friend, but people mess up all the time. And remember, what you got to do is you got to forgive people. Because if not, you're going to carry this burden. You're going to carry bitterness, and you're going to be angry for the rest of your life. And that helped me a lot. And by the grace of God, I got through that. In fact, that person's my friend right now. In fact, a good friend of mine. And so here's a question. Have you ever been hurt? Have you forgiven? How many times do we forgive? Big things, little things? I mean, how often does this work? And so as we look at this passage this morning, Peter's question to Jesus deals with forgiveness, concerning forgiveness. And then Jesus gives an answer. And he actually says forgive completely every time. He gives a parable to show it. And he actually gives the parable to show the consequences of not forgiving. So you may be sitting out here today and there's somebody you're angry with that they did you wrong, and there's no doubt about it that they did you wrong. And you say, you know, they did me wrong, and I'm not letting this go, or I'm not going to ever have anything to do with them again, or I'm never going to forgive them. What does the Bible say about that sort of thing? And so we're going to see it. It is natural that when somebody hurts you, that you sort of, first of all, it's natural to want to get them back. And second, it's natural to say, well, look, I'm through with you, and no matter what you say to me, I'm never going to forgive you. And so are we to forgive? What are we supposed to do? We see that Peter's question is not, should we forgive? But how many times should we forgive? We could say that's one time too many. I mean, you've done that, and I'm not, you know, that's the last straw. What does Jesus say about it? Let's look at Matthew 18. Look at verse 21. Remember, this is just, we just talked about church discipline and all this. So Peter says, and then Peter came and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Because if you remember back in the passage, it says, if your brother sins against you, go to him one-on-one. He says, how often, Lord, if my brother sins against me, that I forgive him? Up to seven times. Well, Peter comes and he basically asks the question, how many times shall he forgive, you know, he sinned against me and I forgive him? How often should I do that? And he said up to seven times. Now, that was big, because at that day and time, the religious leaders taught that when a person did you wrong, you could forgive them up to three times. That's what they actually taught. On the fourth time, that was just too many. And so if somebody did you wrong and then you forgave them, and they did you wrong again and you forgave them, and they did you wrong again and you forgave them, on the fourth time, that was it. So Peter is wanting to look good. And he says to Jesus, basically, how many times should I forgive somebody? Up to seven times? He says, I'm going way beyond what even the religious leaders would say. And so, now remember, forgiveness is means to cancel the debt, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. Well, often. Well, maybe he thought Jesus would say, well, Peter, you're big time, because you're twice as good as all the religious leaders. But Jesus doesn't say that. Notice in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times. times seven. Now, what he said was, it could be, the way the language is written there, it could mean 70 plus seven, which means 77 times, or it could be 70 times seven, which has made most of our translations. That's 490 times. He basically says, if somebody sins against you, you need to forgive them at least 490 times. Now, what he's really saying is, forgive them every time. You can't keep that number in your head. You can't say, well, you're up to 372, you know, and you know, you're in trouble. Basically, he's saying, as often as somebody sins against you, forgive them. Now, we're going to talk about forgiveness in just a minute, because forgiveness means release the debt. That's what it means. And so we forgive every time, and we're going to find out that forgiveness is really for us. And we'll talk more about it. Jesus understood total forgiveness. Our forgiveness based on each other goes back to our being forgiven from Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at forgiveness for just a second as we look at this passage. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness actually means to release the debt. The Greek word is arao, which means to lift up. It's the idea that something is taken up and moved away. So forgiveness is whatever debt you think they owe you. They didn't treat you right. They did you wrong. They did something wrong to you. You're actually saying, I release you from that. I forgive you. I let it go. It's as if it didn't happen. Okay, you're releasing the debt. And so that's what he says to do. And so it means to pardon, to forgive, to let go. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament word means to lift up and take away. And so the second question is, why do we need forgiveness? Well, but the truth is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've rebelled against our God and Savior. The very first aspect of forgiveness is we need forgiveness from God. We need forgiveness from Him, and the Bible talks about that. And so we need to understand, the third thing is understand that God has forgiven us. How? Well, first of all, I want you to realize that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness and eternal life salvation. The Bible says in Acts 13:38 that whenever you believe in Christ, you have the forgiveness of your sins. So everything you've ever done wrong, past everything you've ever done, God forgives you the moment you have put your faith in Him. That deals with your relationship with Him. Now, there's a second aspect of forgiveness, and that is daily we need forgiveness in our fellowship. Now, in our relationship, that's an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. The moment you believe in Him, you're saved and saved forever, and you're forgiven forever. But in your fellowship, now that's relationship, in your fellowship with Jesus Christ, sometimes we sin and we get out of fellowship. We need forgiveness. And so by confessing, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we understand that God has forgiven us not only all sin for all time in our relationship with Him, but even day in and day out when we sin, He forgives us. Erwin Lutzer, he's the pastor at Moody Memorial Church. He says this. He says, God forgives our sin. He throws our sins into the depths of the sea and puts up a sign that says, no fishing. And it's a great statement. God's not going to come back and say, you remember when you did that a long time ago? I'm bringing that back up. He doesn't bring it back up. We're forgiven. The debt is released. When you sin experientially, day in and day out, and you do something wrong and you confess it, You need to realize that you don't have to go back to Him and say, you remember last Thursday when I talked about that? He'll say, it's gone as far as the east is the west. I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. I remember it no more. So just remember that. We're forgiven in Jesus Christ. And so here's the question. How often do we forgive others? The answer is, we forgive others based on the same way that God has forgiven us, and that's every time. Peter's question is real to us because people do you wrong all the time. Listen, if somebody hadn't done you wrong, you just hadn't lived long enough yet, right? I mean, it's true, right? We're all sinful and fall short of the glory of God. I'm going to probably do some of you wrong, and you'll say, Jimmy, you did me wrong, and I'll go, oh, I did? I didn't mean to. Well, maybe I meant to. Who knows, right? You may mean to do wrong. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We're going to do people wrong. What do we do when somebody does us wrong? How often do we forgive others? We see the answer. He says, I don't say to you seven times, 70 times seven. That's Jesus' answer. Every time. Now listen, I'm going to bring this back to you in just a minute, but it's not just if they come and ask for forgiveness. They may say, I didn't even do you wrong, and walk away. Forgiveness ultimately comes back for you. It's for your benefit. And so we'll see it more in just a minute. So how often do we do this? In fact, in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says right here, Peter said, how many times? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I don't say up to seven times. I say 70 times seven, 490 times. Even if they don't ask, even if somebody doesn't come up to you and say, you know, I recognize I blew it. You know, what if you go to somebody and you say, do you know that you really hurt me when you did that? And they say, I don't care. I didn't hurt you. You're just too sensitive. You know, what do you do? You go, well, am I supposed to forgive them? Of course. What did he say? Every time? 9 times, 10 times, 20, 30, 50, 100, 400? How many times? Every time. Now watch this. The basis for forgiving others goes back to Jesus Christ, because God has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. The basis for our forgiveness is our forgiveness with God. We forgive others because God has forgiven us. You're going to see the parable in just a second that Jesus teaches that shows if you don't forgive others, what's going to happen? We're going to see it. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. See, God took all the wrong we've ever done and poured it out on Jesus Christ. And Jesus is a satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. And God has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So all of that's happened. God has completely forgiven us. We forgive others. I want to read a verse. Listen to this. This is Colossians. I don't want you to have to turn there. This is Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what this says. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Listen, it's easy to have a complaint with everybody, right? We can say, I don't like the way they did that. I don't like that. Just believe that person pulled in front of me. Can you believe that they do that? Can you believe they looked at me like that? I can't. That's what we do all the time, right? What are we supposed to do about all these things? When someone sins against us, the basis is what God has done for us. When someone sins against us, we must forgive. I want you to look why. Number one, God's example. God has already done it. God says, I've forgiven you. In the way that I've forgiven you, you forgive others. The second is, and I just want to bring this out for a second, if you don't forgive other people, it's going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt them. Let me just tell you something. If somebody comes up to you and they do you wrong and you say to them, you know, you did me wrong, and they say, I don't care, and they walk away, and that they're not hurting. But if you're carrying this thing and you're mad and you're not going to talk to them and you're going to get bitter, you're going to be the one to get hurt by the thing. See, forgiveness is really for you. When you release the debt and let them go, it's going to help you, because you're not going to be sitting around waiting every day for this person to come back and tell you that they're sorry or that they shouldn't have done it. Listen, I have talked in my life as a pastor, I've talked to men who are in their 50s still waiting for their father, who's now dead, to apologize to them. And it's never going to happen. And they're still carrying it for 50 years. And they wonder why they're angry and depressed all the time. Some people who are bitter from carrying grudges of those that hurt them from years before. Augustine said this, if you're suffering from a bad man's injustice, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. We have to forgive. Puts us out of fellowship if you don't. Now listen, I want you to understand something. If somebody does you wrong and you don't forgive them and you hold a grudge and you hold it against, you're out of fellowship not only with them, you're out of fellowship with God. We need to forgive whenever someone sins against us. Now, he's going to give the parable. And it's really kind of a hard one, because when you first read it, you go, well, this guy's kind of a jerk. And then you see what happens. So here's some questions I want to give you before we get to the parable. Are we carrying a grudge, not forgiving someone who has wronged us? Now, I guarantee you, every one of you in this room have been wronged. And it's not your imagination. You were wronged. Somebody did you wrong. Are you carrying a grudge? Are you still holding on to it? Have you not forgiven someone who has wronged us? Second, are we hurting and bitter because we haven't forgiven? I still remember reading a paper about two sisters who never married, and they lived together in one house and had the living room and the kitchen and all this. And one day they got in an argument. They were only in their 50s. They got in an argument, and they got so mad at each other, they drew a line down the middle of the house and said, "This is my side of the house, and that's your side of the house. And I've got this part of the kitchen, you got that part of the kitchen." And they went the rest of their lives never crossing those lines. And they became bitter old women. And I know a lot of bitter old men. I know a lot of bitter young men and young women. I know people who are upset, angry, bothered, hurting, depressed, sad, because they've been hurt and they never forgave and let it go. Are you hurting and bitter because we haven't forgiven? Are we looking at forgiveness based on our forgiveness? Think about that. When you really think about it, what has Jesus Christ done for you? He paid for your sins, moved the dead away. God has forgiven you totally in Christ Jesus. What about how we should deal with other people? We sinned against God, total forgiveness. What about when somebody sins against us? Total forgiveness. Well, let's see the parable. It's a hard one. Look what he says. For this reason, verse 23, Jesus goes on to say, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slave." Now, he gives this parable, and he says, okay, there was a king, and he had slaves, and they all worked for him and did all this stuff. And so some of them owe him something. So he decides, as the king, "I'm going to settle the accounts. I want everybody that owes me money to come in and pay me." That's what he wants. When he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Now, we go, "I don't know what a talent is. I don't know how much it is." Well, that's equivalent to about $12 million. Now, listen, Jesus said that amount, and in their minds, when they heard that amount, I mean, that's even more, like today. So our country talks about billions of dollars, so millions is not as big as we think. But back then, if the figure that he gave was so astronomical, that would be like everybody in the whole land of Israel owing somebody something. They couldn't even conceive of that much money. And so it's impossible that one individual would owe another individual $12 million at the time Christ lived. It's not possible. So he gave this figure that was gigantic so that everybody who heard it would go, "Oh my gosh, he could never repay that." So look what he says. He began to settle them. He brought one to him who owed 10,000 talents. $12 million. "But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made." So according to Leviticus, under the Mosaic law, if you owed somebody money and you couldn't pay them, you had to sell everything. And sometimes they were put in what's called debtor's prison for a while, and they had to earn money and give it back until they finally paid it off. Well, is this guy going to ever be able to pay back $12 million at that day and time? Would they go, "No, that's not possible"? "But since he didn't have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. I'm going to sell you along with the wife and children and all they had, and repayment to be made." So what happened? So the slave fell to the ground. Prostrated himself in front of him and said, "Oh, have patience with me and I will repay you everything." Look what he did. He fell down and he worshiped and he says, "I will repay you." Now, is he going to be able to repay him? It's impossible for him to repay him. He says, "Just have patience with me." So look what happens. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Now, when Jesus is telling this parable, everybody out there says, "He forgave him that much money? Good gracious." He released it. He let him go. Remember what to forgive means? To release the debt. He forgave the debt. He let it go. That's when somebody does you wrong, you release it. You let it go. You say, "It's gone. You don't owe me anything." I've seen people saying, "I'm going to wait till they come and apologize." Listen, you know what forgiveness is? They don't owe me an apology. I'm letting it go. You might say, "Well, they're getting away with it." Nobody gets away with anything. God deals with people. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Never return evil with evil, but return evil with good. Do not get vengeance for yourself. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You don't have to get people back. God deals with it. Let it go. Let it go. So he released the debt, and he let him go. And boy, this is, you'd go, wow. And what this is really saying is, how much do you owe God? How many sins have you done? How many sins have you done today? I mean, if we're going to write them down, we can start right now. But think about yesterday and the day before that and the year before that. How many sins? I mean, we could take some paper out and say, well, let me start writing. You know, and then you say, well, I lied right there because I didn't write them all down. So now I got another one, right? How much do you owe God as far as your sin? Wages of sin is what? What was the payment for your sin? Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross. That's the payment. That's a big payment. We owed a lot. That's what he's trying to show. So then we'll look what happens. But that slave went out and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. Well, how much does he owe there? You know what that is? That's about 18 bucks. Now, he owed the other guy $12 million, but this guy owes him $18. And so he finds the guy and says, pay me what you owe me. Now, notice the verse carefully. He began to choke him. The way it's written in the Greek, he kept on choking. He's got this guy and he says, you owe me $18. You pay me $18. Now, he just got released from about $12 million, but he wants 18 bucks. So his fellow slave, what did he do? He did just what he did. He said to his fellow slave, fell to the ground, began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. That's exactly what he said to his master. But he was unwilling. And he went and threw him into prison until he could pay back what he owed. Now, he didn't show him mercy or grace or forgiveness or anything. He threw him in prison. Wow. Now, when the fellow slaves saw what happened, because, you know, they all knew that the guy owed $12 million and his master let it go, and now he's thrown a guy in prison for $18. They were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you're wicked. You're a wicked slave. I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy over you? Should you not have? And the Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. He said, you're a wicked slave. I forgave you because you begged me. You should have mercy in the same way. Listen, has God forgiven us everything we've ever done? How should we treat other people when they sin against us? Should we forgive them? The answer is yes, in the exact same way. And now look what he says at the end. My heavenly Father will also, he said, he was moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers he had to repay. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. Now, what is he talking about? He's saying, listen, if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the fellowship issue. If you, as a believer, are angry or upset and you won't let it go and you won't forgive somebody, you're out of fellowship, and God's not going to forgive you until you forgive them. This has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with your fellowship. And that's what he's talking about. There are people that have been out of fellowship for years because they won't release the debt that somebody has hurt them. God disciplines his children who do not forgive others. That's a hard one. Now, let me just say this again. When you say it, you say, well, wait a minute. So somebody does me wrong, and I'm supposed to release the debt. Yeah, yeah, you are. But they get away with it. Remember, they don't get away with it. As I live, says the Lord, vengeance belongs to me. God always takes care of things like that. You may not be the one to take care of. In fact, you're not supposed to be the one to take care of. Now, they may break a law or something, and under the law of the government, they may have consequences on what they do to you. But as far as releasing that debt, you've got to let it go. I've known people. There are times in my life I got so upset somebody did something wrong. It's so easy to want to carry a grudge. It's so easy. You know, what you've got to do. Let me say one other thing, too. When I talk about releasing the debt and letting it go, that doesn't mean you might have to be real good friends with them again. Somebody hurt you and you release them from the debt and you let it go, that doesn't mean you may have to go back and be their best friend again. They may have hurt you and you may never need to put yourself in a situation that they hurt you again. That doesn't mean you don't let it go. It may mean you protect yourself, but it does mean let it go, forgive them. In our lives, there have been people say things about us. do things to us and hurt us, and it would be easy to carry it for the rest of your life. You cannot do it. It will hurt you. He says, in the same way that God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ, we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving others. John Wolford said this. He was the president of Dallas Seminary when I was there. He said, it is clear that a believer in Christ should be occupied with how graciously God has forgiven his wrongs rather than how others should recognize his rights. Be careful. So let me give you some applications. Let's understand forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is releasing the debt. It's to be able to forgive others. And so forgiveness is to let it go. There may be times that people have hurt you. Let it go. Release the debt. The basis for forgiving others is God's forgiveness of us. So we got to do it. Here's the second thing. And that is, let's forgive others. Now, that's not easy to do. You know, sometimes the things in the scripture, it's easy to understand it, but it's not easy to do it. Let's forgive others every time, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Sometimes they don't think they did you wrong, and you know they did. Examine our lives. Are you holding any kind of grudge? Don't let something like this hurt you the rest of your life. The third thing is this. Let's be different from the world. Because, see, the world says, I don't get mad. I get even. No, that's not us. We focus on God's forgiveness rather than our rights. Just trust him. He's working in every situation. He knows what he's doing.